This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Samuel Staley is Director of Urban and Land Use Policy at Reason Foundation, a nonprofit think tank advancing free minds and free markets, online at reason.org. He joins us on the long line. Good afternoon, Sam.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. We want to let folks know that you are headed to Charlottesville. You will be here next week on April 17th at the Cavalier Inn from 11:30 to 1 o'clock at a luncheon sponsored by the local Free Enterprise Forum. And that's online at freeenterpriseforum.org. You can get all the information about the luncheon and your opportunity to get tickets to see Sam here in Charlottesville next week. Sam, let's just start with Sam Staley 101. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I work for the Reason Foundation, which is based in Los Angeles, although we're a virtual think tank. So I actually run my program out of my home office in Ohio. I am Director of Urban and Land Use Policy, and really I'm a cities guy more than anything else. So my background is both not only in policy research, taught for a while full-time at a university, and I've done consulting work with local governments as well, and really just focusing on urban and land use policy and most recently transportation. So I've been at Reason Foundation for the last, a little over 10 years at this point, just trying to figure out how we can ensure that our cities keep growing, grow in a responsible way, and that we also make sure that our transportation systems are working at top notch. So that's kind of where I'm coming from and what sort of led to the book, which I think we'll be talking about a little bit later, The Road More Traveled.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that. We talk a lot on this program about growth and development and transportation, the big issues, a lot of big issues here in Central Virginia. What is the Reason Foundation? What is it, libertarian? What's the elevator speech you give for what y'all do?
Well, you know, it is libertarian. Free minds and free markets, that's probably the best way to look at it. So the way we approach public policy issues is trying to figure out how to solve problems from a market-oriented and property rights approach. So what distinguishes the Reason Foundation from a lot of other policy think tanks is that we're engaged in the nuts and bolts of public policy. So it's not just a matter of us being libertarians. It's also recognizing that there are problems we need to solve on the local level and really trying to come up with practical solutions. What makes us different is that our solutions are going to be consistent with promoting free markets and private property rights.
So whereas other folks might just spend more time saying government is bad and everything government does is evil, you sort of spend more time saying, and here's what we could do differently.
Yeah, and more, this is how we can do it differently. And for most of the folks at the Reason Foundation, we're using some practical experience. For example, I work on land use. I was a former chair of my local planning board. So dealing with approving housing permits. So it's not just enough to say government is bad or we want smaller government. We have to understand how it works. And it's only after we understand how it works can we begin to make practical recommendations for solving some of these problems. So I guess certainly for me and many of my colleagues on the policy division, we get a little frustrated with people that have just come out with the generic thing about government is bad, let's just make government smaller. It's critically important to figure out how to make it smaller and do it in a way that doesn't sacrifice other important values.
So let's explore how that might look on the ground. We're talking with Sam Staley of Reason Foundation. He will be in Charlottesville next week, April 17th, at a talk. He'll give a talk sponsored by the Free Enterprise Forum at the Cavalier Inn at 11:30 on April 17th. If you'd like tickets, check out the website online at freeenterpriseforum.org. Sam, you're the co-author of The Road More Traveled, which really explores this approach to public policy challenges from a libertarian perspective vis-a-vis traffic and congestion. Give us an idea of what's in the book and sort of the vision and some of the approaches that you take in the book.
Yeah, well, the idea that really drives the book is sort of a recognition that in most of the U.S.'s urban areas, traffic congestion has been increasing at dramatic rates. And we need to address that as a policy issue because we believe that mobility is an important source of economic growth and raising our quality of life. And when our mobility deteriorates, then our quality of life declines and it becomes more expensive to run businesses and more expensive to hire labor and our productivity goes down. So what really sort of that whole idea of promoting mobility and addressing the traffic congestion problem head on is the primary reason we wrote the book. The other thing that motivates this is sort of a recognition that our cities are very, very different than they were 100 years ago. Right now, we, with our income, with our preference, our desire to be as mobile as possible, we have an automobile-based society and urban economy. And so it sort of goes back to a classic management problem. If you're faced with a barrier in your business, you don't devote your resources to the problem that's the smallest part of the overall solution. You try and go after the biggest component. What's the biggest obstacle? And what we found is that most urban areas have been neglecting the road system. And when you've got your vehicle miles traveled increasing at four times the rate of the of your road system, it's a recipe for gridlock. And so what we started to do then was figure out what are the things that we can do that could tangibly and meaningfully impact traffic congestion. And that ultimately means you have to focus on roads. You have to focus on your road system and how it's designed and building the right capacity in the right place.
So give us an idea of some of these solutions. You have 10 steps to congestion relief. And number one, you say add lanes. What do you do if you're dealing with, like, Virginia? We don't have the money to add more lanes, and we desperately need them. And we know we need to add more lanes, but we can't find the money.
Yeah, and actually, there's a longer-term solution, which where are you going to get the money? A lot of it is going to come, as much as it may be unpopular, but it's going to have to come from the users of those new road facilities. So we are very strong advocates of using tolling to build new capacity. So, for example, if you're on 64, which might be a little difficult, but more like with the widening, and you could convert 29, for example, in the Charlottesville area, if you've got a four-lane road, if you can take one of those roads, and if it was going to be dedicated to an HOV lane, then you actually allow single drivers on that lane if they pay a toll. It's called a hot lane, high occupancy toll lane. And the beauty of that is you generate revenue. And in places, particularly where there's significant congestion, the revenue is enough to pay for the expanded capacity. So we are strong advocates of moving to more user fees to finance new infrastructure. And, of course, it has the advantage of also helping manage the flow on those roads as well. So, for example, Southern California is the poster child for gridlock in the United States. And having driven there a number of times, I can tell you that it's a deserved reputation. But there's a 10-mile stretch of State Route 91, which free flows at 65 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, how do they do that? What they do is they have tolls, and those tolls are priced based on what it takes to keep those roads moving at free flow speeds. They're called the 91 Express Lanes, and we talk a lot about them in our book. But that's really what the key is. It's managing the existing facilities efficiently, but it's also generating the revenue to ensure you can expand the capacity in the right places at the right time.
We're talking with Sam Staley. He is the Director of Urban and Land Use Policy at Reason Foundation, a nonprofit think tank advancing free minds and free markets, online at reason.org. The book is The Road More Traveled, and Sam is the co-author, and he'll be in town next week to talk about land use planning and The Road More Traveled, his new book, at the Cavalier Inn at 11:30 on April 17th at a talk sponsored by the Free Enterprise Forum. Sam, if we could back up just one step and sort of look at the forest for the trees here, what are your general thoughts about what local governments maybe are doing that is working when it comes to growth and development, and perhaps what they're the number one or two things they're not doing well?
You know, that's a great question, and part of the problem, I hope I don't punt this. So much of it is local context and very specific. So it's hard sitting, out of Charlottesville to really come in and talk about Charlottesville in particular.
But yeah,
I think here are a couple things that I think need to be on the radar screen. They have to sort of be on your checklist of looking at what's going on locally. First of all, on the transportation side, is your local government really meeting the transportation demand on your existing facilities? And are they actually stepping to the plate to fund the kinds of capacity expansions that are necessary to keep people from going from point A to point B as quickly as possible. And if you've got congestion, the answer to that is plainly no. So look at, you know, how many times do you have to sit at a traffic light and go through the cycle? And if you're going through the cycle more than once, you've got congestion even on local roads. Now, you can expand capacity. The other thing you can do is, which I think it probably has a lot of value added in a place like Charlottesville, which is a smaller urban area, is to focus on improving your signal timing, the traffic signals. Make sure that they are, and this is actually very high value added in the sense you get a lot of bang for the buck. Make sure you're coordinating when those traffic lights are turning red, green, and yellow. And you can increase speeds dramatically that way. Already talked a little bit about hot lanes. On the land use side, really, I think local governments need to do a much better job of allowing the land market to adjust to the changing demands of the community. One of the things that I see happening all across the country is a resistance by local governments to allow land uses to develop at the densities and the uses that are necessary, or for that matter, desired, as these communities grow. A lot of times, once we have the zoning in place, it's used to just try and keep the community the way it's been for the last 20, 30, or 40, or even, depending on where you are, 100 years. But in fact, our communities change and they evolve. So very often we have demand for higher density uses, more mixed uses, which means you're adding residential and commercial, but our zoning and planning processes aren't set up to accommodate that change. So another thing I'd be looking at is, how are you updating your comprehensive plan? Are you responding to the signals from the land market about what really is the highest valued use for that property? And so that's another thing that I would look at. And also, of course, there's always the issue of making sure that we're coordinating more between jurisdictions. Very often you'll have transportation investments and water and sewer investments done at the county level with no real attention to what's going on in the city level, even whether it's a larger city like Charlottesville or an outlying town or village. That needs to be coordinated more effectively. And a lot of that's a political barrier as opposed to any real technological barrier or an economic barrier.
Yeah, and that's a huge challenge in Virginia, where you have separate governments between cities and counties.
Yeah, and I think the key is to really see if we can figure out ways to make coordination between those governments a win-win. Where I've seen that happen, we've been able to get coordination, and in fact, if it's set up the right way, it is a win-win. Because if clearly traffic moving freely flowing between cities benefits both cities or a town in the city. But what you need to do is figure out a way to make it benefit both cities.
We're talking with Sam Staley is with the Reason Foundation, online at reason.org. You can get a whole lot of information, a wonderful website, and get a whole lot of information there. You can also get more information about his book, The Road More Traveled, and he will be in Charlottesville in just a few days for an extended conversation at the Cavalier Inn at 11:30 on April 17th. At a talk sponsored by the local Free Enterprise Forum. Sam, before we let you go, I want to ask you about affordable housing.
Sure.
That is a huge issue here locally, both in the city and the county. As you know, Central Virginia has become more of a sought-after location for folks to live. Housing has gotten incredibly expensive here, and you have folks like school teachers and paramedics and your firefighters and your police officers who can't afford to live in the communities they serve. And so they're having to live in these outlying counties, and now housing out there is getting more and more expensive. We have some approaches by local governments to actually take public money and put it towards some of those needier folks who are trying to find housing. And, you know, some folks are criticizing that move, these affordable housing initiatives by governments to take money from some folks and give it to others. And, you know, the first folks say, hey, I'd like to live in a better house. Why do I have to give my money to them to live in a better house?
Right. Well, I think the problem with all, in every case where we're struggling with affordable housing, we need to recognize that it's a supply and demand problem. The reason why housing prices are increasing to beyond the scope of middle-income professionals is because we're not adding enough supply at that level. And the bottom line is, if you look at what the source of that constraint on supply is, most cases it's zoning, and most of the cases it's local planning. So the key, again, going back to what I mentioned a little bit earlier, is really look in your own backyard and find out, if there's a market for those affordable homes, why aren't your builders meeting that market? And what you'll find very often is that the barriers, mainly regulatory, to try and meet that need are very difficult, either because they can't get the density or because the lengthy times taken to approve the developments, the subdivisions, are so long that it eats up any of the profit margin. What I think I'm skeptical, as one would expect from the Reason Foundation, of explicit programs designed to target populations for affordable housing. And I'll tell you, though, a lot of the objection is very practical. We have not found nowhere in the country, has an affordable housing program that targets individual families come anywhere close to meeting the need. So even though you might find the program funded, the bottom line is it only gets to a very small percentage of the affordable housing need. So ultimately, the solution is engaging the private sector to build large quantities of housing for that target audience and that target market. And ultimately, that means going back, looking at our planning and zoning and development control regulations, and figuring out ways to enable the suppliers to meet that market, rather than just keep those barriers in place and adding on to the costs that make it uneconomical to actually meet that need.
Sam Staley is Director of Urban and Land Use Policy at Reason Foundation, online at reason.org. He's coming to Charlottesville in just a few days. He'll be at the Cavalier Inn at 11:30 on April 17th. If you would like to meet him and continue this conversation at a luncheon sponsored by the Free Enterprise Forum. Sam, let's do this again. Let's see if we can't get you on the program again. I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, I have too, and I'd love to be on the program again. Just let me know and see if we can coordinate it.
We'll definitely do that. Sam Staley, coming to Charlottesville. Sam, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.